"It was bad," said Ron hoarsely, emerging over the tabletop, looking pale and sweaty. "Malfoy called her Mudblood. Hagrid..." Ron dived out of sight again as a fresh wave of slugs made their appearance. Hagrid looked outraged.
"He didn't," he growled at Hermione.
"He did," she said, "but I don't know what it means. I could tell it was really rude, of course."
"It's about the most insulting thing he could think of," gasped Ron, coming back up. "Mudblood's a really foul name for someone who was muggle-born, you know, non-magic parents. There are some wizards, like Malfoy's family, who think they're better than everyone else because they're what people call pure-blood."
He gave a small burp, and a single slug fell into his outstretched hand. He threw it into the basin and continued.
"I mean, the rest of us know it doesn't make any difference at all. Look at Neville Longbottom. He's pure blood, and he can hardly stand a cauldron the right way up."
"And they haven't invented a spell our Hermione can't do," said Hagrid proudly, making Hermione go a brilliant shade of magenta.
"It's a disgusting thing to call someone," said Ron, wiping his sweaty brow with a shaking hand. "Dirty blood, see? Common blood. It's mad. Most wizards these days are half-blood anyway. If we hadn't married muggles, we'd have died out."
He retched and ducked out of sight again.
"Well, I don't blame you for trying to curse him, Ron,"
said Hagrid loudly over the thuds of more slugs hitting the basin.
"But maybe it was a good thing your wand backfired. 'Spect Lucius Malfoy would have come marching up to school if you'd cursed his son. Least you're not in trouble."
Harry would have pointed out that trouble didn't come much worse than having slugs pouring out of your mouth, but he couldn't. Hagrid's treacle toffee had cemented his jaws together.
"Harry," said Hagrid suddenly, as though struck by a sudden thought, "got my bone to pick with ye. I've heard you've been giving out signed photos. How come I haven't got one?"
Furious, Harry wrenched his teeth apart.
"I have not been giving out signed photos," he said hotly. "If Lockhart's still putting that about..."
But then he saw that Hagrid was laughing.
"I'm only joking," he said,
patting Harry genially on the back and sending him face first into the table.
"I knew you hadn't really. I told Lockhart you didn't need to. You're more famous than him without trying."
"Betty didn't like that," said Harry, sitting up and rubbing his chin.
"Don't think he did," said Hagrid, his eyes twinkling. "And then I told him I'd never read one of his books, and he decided to go. Treacle toffee, Ron,"
he added, as Ron reappeared.
"No thanks," said Ron weakly.
"Better not risk it."
"Come and see what I've been growing,"
said Hagrid, as Harry and Hermione finished the last of their tea. In the small vegetable patch behind Hagrid's house were a dozen of the largest pumpkins Harry had ever seen. Each was the size of a large boulder.
"Getting on well, aren't they?"
said Hagrid happily.
"For the Halloween feast. Should be big enough by then."
"What have you been feeding them?" said Harry. Hagrid looked over his shoulder to check that they were alone.
"Well, I've been giving them, you know, a bit of help."
Harry noticed Hagrid's flowery pink umbrella leaning against the back wall of the cabin. Harry had had reason to believe before now that this umbrella was not all it looked. In fact, he had the strong impression that Hagrid's old school wand was concealed inside it. Hagrid wasn't supposed to use magic. He had been expelled from Hogwarts in his third year, but Harry had never found out why. Any mention of the matter, and Hagrid would clear his throat loudly and become mysteriously deaf until the subject was changed.
"An engorgement charm, I suppose,"
said Hermione, halfway between disapproval and amusement.
"Well, you've done a good job on them."
"That's what your little sister said," said Hagrid, nodding at Ron. "Met her just yesterday."
Hagrid looked sideways at Harry, his beard twitching.
"Said she was just looking round the grounds, but I reckon she was hoping she might run into someone else at my house."
He winked at Harry.
"If you ask me, she wouldn't say no to a signed..."
"Oh, shut up," said Harry. Ron snorted with laughter, and the ground was sprayed with slugs.
"Watch it,"
Hagrid roared, pulling Ron away from his precious pumpkins. It was nearly lunchtime, and as Harry had only had one bit of treacle fudge since dawn, he was keen to go back to school to eat. They said goodbye to Hagrid and walked back up to the castle, Ron hiccupping occasionally, but only bringing up two very small slugs. They had barely set foot in the cool entrance hall when a voice rang out,
"There you are, Potter. Weasley."
Professor McGonagall was walking towards them, looking stern. "You will both do your detentions this evening."
"What are we doing, Professor?" said Ron, nervously suppressing a burp.
"You will be polishing the silver in the trophy room with Mr. Filch," said Professor McGonagall. "And no magic, Weasley. Elbow grease."
Ron gulped. Argus Filch, the caretaker, was loathed by every student in the school.
"And you, Potter, will be helping Professor Lockhart answer his fan mail," said Professor McGonagall. "Oh, no! Can't I go and do the trophy room, too?" said Harry, desperately.
"Certainly not," said Professor McGonagall, raising her eyebrows. "Professor Lockhart requested you particularly. 8 o'clock sharp, both of you."
Harry and Ron slouched into the great hall in states of deepest gloom, Hermione behind them, wearing a "well, you did break school rules" sort of expression. Harry didn't fancy his shepherd's pie as much as he'd thought. Both he and Ron felt they'd got the worst deal.
"Filch'll have me there all night," said Ron heavily. "No magic. There must be about 100 cups in that room. I'm no good at muggle cleaning."
"I'd swap any time," said Harry hollowly. "I've had loads of practice with the Dursleys. Answering Lockhart's fan mail. He'll be a nightmare." Saturday afternoon seemed to melt away, and in what seemed like no time it was 8:05, and Harry was dragging his feet along the second-floor corridor to Lockhart's office. He gritted his teeth and knocked. The door flew open at once. Lockhart beamed down at him.
"Ah-ha, here's the scallywag," he said. "Come in, Harry, come in."
Shining brightly on the walls by the light of many candles were countless framed photographs of Lockhart. He had even signed a few of them. Another large pile lay on his desk. "You can address the envelopes," Lockhart told Harry, as though this was a huge treat.
"This first one's to Gladys Gudgeon, bless her. Huge fan of mine."
The minutes snailed by. Harry let Lockhart's voice wash over him, occasionally saying, and "right," and "yeah." Now and then he caught a phrase like, "Fame's a fickle friend, Harry," or "Celebrity is as celebrity does, remember that." The candles burned lower and lower, making the light dance over the many moving faces of Lockhart watching him. Harry moved his aching hand over what felt like the 1,000th envelope, writing out Veronica Smedley's address. "It must be nearly time to leave," Harry thought miserably. "Please let it be nearly time."